Welcome to Torah Limecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 31. In the last parak, we learned about the end of days, during and after the war of Gog Umagog. Hashem will save and heal the Jewish people and punish the nations for their actions during Galus. We will become Hashem's nation, and Hashem will watch over us as our God. This parak is the second of four positive nevuos, and many of the psukim are well known from songs in our tefillos. The parak begins with Yirmiyahu describing Hashem's great love for us in verses 1 to 5. The love began when we first became a nation, verse 1. Matzachin bamidbar am sridei charev. The people that had escaped the sword of death found grace in the wilderness. The Jews escaped the sword, meaning the Egyptians who planned to annihilate them. Soon after, they went into the desert for 40 years with complete faith in Hashem. Hashem, in turn, gave them man and required no labor from them. This will be what it is like in the time of the Geula. Haloch le'argio Yisrael. Hashem is leading them to a place of calm, to rest in Israel, where they will not need to do any work and all their needs will be provided for. Yirmiyahu expresses the nation's feelings in verse 2. Merachok Hashem yirali. From afar Hashem appeared to me. In Galus, Hashem appears so far away, he hides his face and there are only hidden miracles. While we feel Hashem is far away, Hashem tells us, Ahavas olam ahavtich, I have loved you with an everlasting love, then, now, and forever. We say a bracha before Shema, both in the morning and at night. In the morning, Ashkenazim begin the bracha with Ava Rabba, Hashem loved us a great love. At night, the bracha begins with Ahavas olam, that Hashem loved us with an eternal love. We say Ahava Rabba during the day, as that represents the times of joy and clarity, so it is easy to feel Hashem's great connection to us. Night represents challenges. When things are dark, we do not feel loving to Hashem, nor do we feel His love. At night, we remind ourselves that Hashem has an Avas Olam, an eternal love that is independent of how we act or feel. Because of this love, Hashem does innumerable kindnesses for us, even if we don't deserve them. Hashem promises us, verse 3, about the future. Od evnech v'nivnes. Again will I build you, and you will be built. We are now, right now, like a broken building, whose bricks are scattered. During the Geula, we will be gathered and rebuilt into a new nation. The Pesukim tell us that the Geula will be a beautiful time, like the perfect wedding party, all the time. We will once again be adorned and dance with joy and merriment. In addition, Hashem will once again allow us to plant vineyards and farms, which will lead to a day where those on the vineyards and farms will say, verse 5, Kumu v'na'ale Tzion el Hashem Elokeinu, come, let us arise and go up to Tzion to Hashem our God. We will be able to do the mitzvos to bring Bikurim and certain tithes to Yerushalayim, which will bring us incredible joy. It will be quite an emotional time. Verse 9, we will return with our tears, and we will be led with our requests. There are two interpretations of this phrase that are both meaningful. The Metzudas Davis says that these tears and requests happen before the Geula. We will be brought back to Israel because of our cries of tshuva and tefillah, which will cause the Geula. The Radak says that this is referring to the time of the Geula. We will shed tears of joy from the overwhelming relief when we finally can return to Yerushalayim with so much comfort and safety. There will be no threats of terrorist attacks or war. Coming back to Yerushalayim will always be safe. This happens because Hashem says, Ki hayisi leYisrael la'av veEfrayim b'chorihu, because I am a father to Yisrael and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hashem loves us and wants what is best for His children. The other nations will not appreciate this turn of events. For thousands of years, they credited themselves and their military for their control of the area. What happened in the Galus was always Hashem's decision. Verse 10, Kifata Hashem es Yaakov. Hashem is the one who redeems Yaakov. Ugo'olo miyad chazak mimenu. And Hashem will save him from the hand of one stronger than him. The other nations, even the strongest ones, can't stop Hashem. Hashem will stop any evil plans and bring the exiles home to Israel. The Pesukim continue with emotional language to describe the Geula. We will have an abundance of everything we need, both physically and spiritually. And so, verse 11, Uva'u v'rininu v'mrom Tzion. They will come and sing in the height of Tzion with emotion, and v'haisa nafsham kigan raveh, and their soul shall be like a watered garden. One of the hardest parts of Galus is the constant worry and anxiety that is now part of our national character. during the Geula, we will feel content. V'lo yosifu da'ava od, we won't worry anymore at all. Verse 12, Az tismach b'sula b'macho, then the virgin will rejoice with a dance and a round dance of music, uvachurim izukenim yachdav, and the young men and the old men together. What a beautiful scene. Every person in the community will be dancing and singing together. Every person will be pulled into the circle from the joy they will feel. Nobody's going to stand on the sidelines. Va'afachli evlam l'sason, and I will turn their mourning into joy. The whole tenor of life will change, and the quality of our joy will eclipse any grief we had before. Everyone will feel satisfied and positive. The pasuk turns to one person who is listening to these nevuos. Verse 14, Kol b'rama nishma nehi v'chi samumrim. A voice is heard in Rama, a lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel mevaka avaneha. Rachel is weeping for her children. Rachel imenu, our matriarch, hears these comforting words of Yirmiyahu, but she sees her children and the galus, and she weeps, and she continues to weep from a high place where one cannot help but hear her. She won't listen to these comforting words because she has two children, Yosef and Binyamin, and they are both still in galus. Binyamin returned during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, but she did not take comfort from this because Yosef never returned. She refuses to be comforted about her children because they are both not there. Rachel cares about her children and she never gives up on them. The Medrash explains how and when these tears helped her children. When Menashe put an idol in the temple, it crossed all red lines. Hashem was ready to unleash terror on the people. The other patriarchs and matriarchs begged Hashem for compassion, but it did not help. Then Rachel came. She asked Hashem, how could she have more compassion than Hashem as she lived through a similar circumstance? After 7 long years, Rachel and Yaakov were to be wed when Lavan switched Leah for Rachel at the last minute. Rachel gave Leah some cues so that Yaakov would not suspect her. Rachel reminds Hashem that she actively brought her rival into her home and she was silent. Hashem could be silent if a pathetic, non-threatening rival was brought into his home. Hashem responds that she should stop crying because of verse 15, Kiyesh sachar lefulaseich, your work has a reward, your compassion has changed things. V'shavu me'aretz ayev, the children will come back from the land of the enemy. And verse 16, V'shavu vanim legulam, your children shall return to their own borders. Both Binyamin and Yosef will come back home. In the next section, Yirmiyahu explains what changes there will be so that Rachel's children can indeed return from galus. Verse 17. Hashem hears Ephraim misnodeid. Ephraim is bemoaning himself. He says, Yisartani v'yivaser ke'ega lo lumad. You have punished me, and I was punished, but I was like an untrained calf. Ephraim says that Hashem caused Ephraim to suffer and suffer more to try to get him to improve, but it's not working. Ephraim never had a strong educational foundation, so punishing him doesn't help. He is like an untrained calf who won't learn how to pull a plow just because you hit it without giving it some guidance first. You can hit an ox who has been trained, but not a calf. Hashem should try a different tactic. Hashiveni v'ashuva, return me and I will return. Hashem should teach the nation what it means to be connected to Hashem, and then they will return, they will do tshuva. The Mitzudas David says we are asking that Hashem inspire us to want to change. Ephraim continues that once he learns what is proper, he will do tshuva. He will be self-aware and can then recognize where he went wrong in the past. He will be ashamed, which is an essential component to doing tshuva, and then he will change. Hashem responds lovingly to this request. Verse 19. Havein yakir li Ephraim im yeled shashuim. Is Ephraim a darling son to me? Is he a toddler that is just so delightful? Hashem compares Ephraim to a young child who is the apple of a father's eye. Children like that, and many of us have them, can do no wrong. Kimidei dabribo zachor eskrenu od. For as often as I speak to him, I remember him still. Whenever Hashem speaks of Ephraim, who represents the 10 tribes, he remembers this deep love, and he gets so upset by the galus. Alkein hamu me'ai lo, therefore my heart yearns for him. Although only Yehudah and Binyamin returned after galus Bavel, Hashem will bring back all of the kshatim with great mercy at the end of days. Ephraim does not need to be perfect. A father will hug his toddler even if he is dirty. Hashem will embrace the Jewish people, even if they have sinned. Because of this promise, Hashem gives the Jewish people advice before going to Galus. He tells them, verse 20, Hatzivi lach tziyunim, set up for yourselves markers. As they go out to Galus, they should mark the way so they know how to get back. They should never give up hope. How will they be saved if they are always backsliding? From verses 21 to 39, Yirmiyahu describes changes that will allow there to be a redemption. Hashem will create a new reality as the old way has not worked. Verse 21, in our reality, a man pursues the woman. In the future, Nekeva to Sovev Gaver, a woman will court a man. Rav Breuer says that nowadays, mankind focuses on power and the dominance of the state to control their country. In the future, there will be a feminine energy, an energy of beauty and purity in the home that will allow tshuva to take hold. Yirmiyahu continues to describe the Geula. All the exiles will return to Israel and will bless Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Verse 24 describes the emotional relief of this time. Ki hirvesi nefesh ayifa, for I have quenched the weary soul. The returnees will have a deep sense of satisfaction, like when a parched person drinks water. It satisfies them in a way that nothing else can. V'chol nefesh da'ava milesi, and every longing soul I have filled. Until now, Klal Yisrael has been in a constant state of nagging worry. With that worry gone, people can just be happy. Yirmiyahu continues with additional descriptions of the Geula. Verse 26, Yamim Ba'im. In those days that are to come, it will be as if Hashem is planting the house of Yehuda in Israel. The Malbim says that when you plant a seed, it first appears as if nothing is happening, and then the seed decomposes into the soil. From that decomposition, the seed can grow. Hashem sent us into Galus, where we seem to fall apart, but only so that we would grow. This is reminiscent of the original mission Hashem gave Yirmiyahu in Perek Aleph, the first chapter, which is echoed here. Just as Hashem watched over them, verse 27, Linsosh, v'linsot, v'laharos, v'la'abid, v'lahareya, to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to afflict. Kain ashkod aleihem livnos v'lintawa. So will I watch over them to build and to plant. Hashem has promised us that we will return, and he promised us to get rid of our worries. But how will this happen? There will need to be another change. In the past, fathers would sin, or as it is described in verse 28, avos achlu voser, fathers ate sour grapes. But it was shinei vanim tekena, the children's teeth were what was set on edge. The children got punished for their father's sins. This won't happen in the future. Instead, verse 29, ish bavo no yamos, everyone shall die for his own sins. Hashem will also make, verse 20, a bris chadasha, a new covenant with both Yehuda and Israel. It will be different than an earlier bris. The Jews had made a bris before when they stood at Har Sinai, but it wasn't a choice. They were overwhelmed by Hashem's presence. Now the bris won't be externally imposed, but it will be internally motivated. Verse 32, Nasati es torasi bekirbam, I will put my law inside of them. And on their heart will I write it. The Malbim says that the Torah will be part of them, and choosing correctly will be the natural decision. They also won't go against the Torah because their hearts will be engraved with Torah. With this as a reality, everyone will know about Hashem and accept him as their God. It will be so natural, just like the sun shines during the day and the stars at night. These laws of nature are fixed from day to day and do not change. Klal Yisrael are always going to be the nation of Hashem on this earth for all time. The Perek ends verse 37 through 39 with how this change will bring about another change, which is within the borders of Yerushalayim. In the future, in a land that is filled with people who are holy, the city of Yerushalayim will expand. Yirmiyahu describes the geographical markers of where Yerushalayim will expand to. It will all be, verse 39, Kodesh LaHashem, holy to Hashem, never to be destroyed again. This parak had three parts. The first were descriptions of the bliss of the Geula. Next, we heard from Rachel Imenu, who cried despite the promises because her children, Binyamin and Yosef, are still in Galus. And Hashem promises that her children will return from exile to enjoy all the promises. He adds the changes that will help the people deserve to stay in Israel. When this happens, the borders of Yerushalayim will expand to reflect the increased holiness in the land. One lesson we can learn from this perek is the power of tefillah. Rachel saw her children in pain, and she cried loudly and continuously. She demanded from Hashem, and Hashem viewed her children in the way she viewed them, as Yeled Sha'ashuim, the children of delights. It's very hard to say no to a cute child. Our job in Galus is to raise our voices and to cry for all of Hashem's children. We can look at all of Hashem's children with love, so Hashem will treat everyone with that love as well. Thank you for studying together. L'Yoy Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.